Welcome to the Lease Option Experience. I'm John Jackson, your host, and together with my co-host, Joe Seske, we answer all of your questions about lease options in real estate. We answer questions about sandwich lease options, straight lease options, lease option assignments, also known as wholesaling lease options, which is exactly what we specialize in and what I've specialized in since 2003, having done well over 700 lease option transactions. If you have questions about lease options, this is the podcast you want to be listening to. I know there's a lot of podcasts out there about real estate investing, but this is the only podcast devoted specifically to the niche of lease options. We answer all of your questions and guide you through actual real transactions, both of our own, our students, and our listeners. So what do you say? Let's get started with the next episode of the Lease Option Experience. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Lease Option Experience. I'm your host, John Jackson. We are recording in my home studio this week as our big studio is being renovated and actually being moved right now. Listen, if you like this show, if you're watching us on YouTube, give us a thumbs up, subscribe to our channel, leave comments, leave questions. I will respond to those comments and questions. And speaking of which, if you have questions for myself, send them to me, questions@leasingtobuy.com. But again, give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, leave comments, and send me questions to questions@leasingtobuy.com. I'll answer all your questions. If I don't know the answer, I'll make it up and you won't even know. I am excited about today's guest. I've actually known him about 2 years, maybe a year and a half or so. And just think he's a phenomenal person and just really somebody that you want to get to know in the real estate space. Now, I know on this show, we like to focus on lease options and the world of lease options, but every now and then I'll bring in a guest that has a different angle, different approach, be it somebody that I think can provide value to you. So today we've got none other than Mr. Jerry Green coming at us. What's up, Jerry?
What is up, John? John the man. Thanks for having me on, brother.
Man, absolutely. So Jerry, you and I go back maybe a year and a half ago. I don't remember exactly. And then I saw you speak at an event, one or two events, and just absolutely loved the way that you presented the material and your story and the way that, you know, really the audience could connect and engage with you. And of course, your story is phenomenal as well. And you've been in real estate for really, let's just be honest, for a long time. And you are still to this day making a tremendous impact on people in the real estate space, which we'll get into that and what you do with your trainings and everything and how people can find you later on. But let's get started here. So tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and then we'll dive into your beginnings of real estate.
Absolutely. Absolutely, John. Well, like I say, first of all, thank you, my friend. Enjoy helping anybody out that I can. And always enjoy spending time with you too, buddy. And like, yeah, I think it is about just about a couple of years now that we met. And just so everybody knows too, is there's not a lot of people that get my weird sense of humor, but John is one of them. And because we both share that side of things. And so I think it's pretty cool on that. So I consider him a very good friend and honored to be able to be here today and help him out. So thank you, brother.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's the show. All right, guys. So listen.
All right. We'll catch you later.
All right. So, so Jerry, so you live in Ohio, right?
Yep. So I live in Ohio.
Tell us something about your intro into real estate.
Yeah. So let's take it back in time a little bit. So, taking this back, this was so everybody kind of understands how I got moved into this, and I'll watch it on time because this can be a big thing itself on time. It's just me sharing my story some. But so back in the early 90s, I was currently, this is like 92, 93. And just so everybody understands, even before that, I was actually in the United States Air Force for a little while. And I actually was stationed in Texas. So I was in San Antonio and then also Wichita Falls.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So I was there, John, and then, but I came back and when I came back, because I had studied civil engineering and I didn't get a degree. I just studied it and stuff and figured I'd do something with it. So I came back and then my dad had a small contracting business, electrical contracting business. And I ended up coming back and went into business with him. And we really kind of grew it together. Of course, I had no idea about anything in business whatsoever at all. So, but I knew how to do electrical work, you know, the same old thing where I'm the technician. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I came back and started doing that. We grew that and then moving into, that was like in the mid 80s. And then we came back and then I started really moving into, or started moving to the early 90s. I got to the point where, you know, I was still enjoying the electrical contracting business, but it was something I was getting a little overdone with because it's, you know, I was going through dealing with a lot of like general contractors who'd done a lot of work for. And it was always hurry up, get the work done, but then wait for our money. Mm-hmm. So that was a big thing. And then about 93, we went in the position where we had a large general contractor fold up on us and close his doors. And we had a, you know, small business, my father and I, and a couple employees. Well, I think we took a hit of $60,000+. And you take it back then, I mean, it's a big hit regardless, but way really big compared to today, you know, if you look at the same dollar amount. And we couldn't recover from that. I ended up going bankrupt from that, John. And so here I was, I filed a bankruptcy. I was in the like position, what am I going to do? You know, I was looking at positions at, you know, local, I even looked at a position at a local university and working in their engineering department, electrical side of things. And then I saw an advertisement about an upcoming real estate seminar. And this advertisement was on TV because we didn't have, you know, as you know, bro, we didn't have the cell phone stuff and all the Facebook, all that stuff back then. And so I decided to go to this seminar coming up in Cincinnati, Ohio about real estate. And it was a seminar through a gentleman named Charles Gibbons, which most people have not heard of. There's several people. In fact, the other night I was on your call with your students. Somebody mentioned in there that they had read his book.
Yeah.
So that was kind of funny because I rarely hear that. So anyways, I went to the seminar, sat there for 3 days, learned a ton of stuff. And, you know, the biggest thing, you know, John, is as a lot of us do, we go to an event like that. It's just really what it comes down to. It's the great information, but really only thing that really matters is what you do afterwards. And do you take action?
Yes.
Okay. So, well, I got out of there. I knew I had to do something. And a lot of people, I think this is what holds a lot of people back too on things is when people go to an event, stuff like that, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll go back to just what they're doing because it's comfort side of things. When I left there, I didn't have any comfort. And it was like, you know, I had to get shit together, man. I had to go out and do deals because I had to feed my family. So what I did was I decided to jump into wholesaling. Well, it was, you know, back then, nobody really even heard of that before. They thought it was like really hokey, you know? Mm-hmm. So I started going out pressing to do that. The only thing is I needed some extra help. So I ended up meeting a gentleman there at the event he was part of the event itself and ended up hiring him as a mentor. I think I shared this with you too.
Yeah.
I actually ended up borrowing my mom and dad's credit cards to be able to pay for the man. So, and pay for his services. So that was kind of the launch of things. I started going on that. And next thing you know, I started doing some deals. I pick up, you know, $2,500 here, $1,500 here, you know, on these little deals. And that continued to grow. And then I got into the fix and flip model because, you know, it was kind of a natural progression for me on that because I think a lot of investors do that. And you've seen that before too, where we see, oh, wow, they're making the bigger money on things. Yeah. And so I started doing the rehabs and stuff, not realizing that was one of the biggest pain in the butts I would ever get into. So And that, so I grew that big monster thing up, started doing a lot of rehabs, rolled into year 2000. Wife and I were kicking butt on things. Wife and I found out at that time she was pregnant, and we were like, oh, we're super excited. We're going to have a little baby boy. And she ended up going into premature labor. And, you know, guys, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I just share with you that I went through a tremendous personal tragedy. Once our little boy was born, the day he was born, we found out my wife had cancer. And then the next 10 months was pretty well living hell. One surgery after another. I lived in the Ronald McDonald House because she was treated there as an adult patient in a children's hospital because the cancer was a childhood cancer. Went through tremendous, just unbelievable time. And ended up, like I said, living in Ronald McDonald House for 4 months in Columbus, Ohio. And then, by the way, that's at that time I was living in Springfield, Ohio, John. And currently now I live over in Germantown, Ohio. And then from there, man, we got, you know, I got to the point where, you know, like I said, we went through this tremendous time in my life and lost my wife 10 months after my little baby boy was born. And so here I was, you know, on my own. You know, I had my parents, and thank God, and, you know, her parents and stuff like that. But I was raising a newborn baby on my own and had a business. And, you know, it was unbelievable. So for about a 2 year period of time, I was just trying to get functioning again from the time I was taking care of her to the time I got my life back, even functioning again. And then at that point, I met my wife now, Joyce, which you know. And so that was several years later, got remarried, moved to Germantown, and really started pushing on the business again. So the business never went away. It just was way in an idle stage because obviously the most important thing is taking care of my family. So, but then I grew the rehab business way up again, John, and built this massive machine up. I just went right back into the rehab side. And then years later, I got to the point where I realized that I was doing something that I did not enjoy anymore. And I realized that, you know, after hundreds and hundreds of rehabs and doing all this, and also I'd done rentals, and which that's fine. I still have them today, buy and hold and multifamily. I even got into commercial some with like Family Dollar, General Dollar stores. And those were good deals and stuff. But other than that, I built this big machine up and it was just like, oh my God, what am I doing here? Because what it was is I had this huge team. I think at one time I was up to, you know, and huge to me at that time period was, that was like 18 people, I think it was. And, you know, that's a good sized team. But the problem was, John, everything was about me, dude. Everything was about me. From, you know, I'm talking about stupid stuff, like being in the office and like, hey, Jerry, do you know how to change a cartridge in the printer? You know? And it was crazy stuff, man. And
so then you've got 18 people asking you how to change a cartridge or something to that, you know, something to that level. Like, hey, Jerry, what color paint do you think we, you know, we were
100%.
Jerry, we took down the drywall and we found this. What do you think about this? And that, you know,
it was constant like that, John.
Yeah.
And on top of that, dude, I was putting all the deals together. I was going out and putting all the deals together too, bringing them in, deciding on if I was going to rehab it and stuff like that. And it just got to the point where I said, this is stupid. I hate this. Mm-hmm. And my clarity came from, you know, realizing that, that I really drew a line down the center of a piece of paper. One side I wrote real estate. The other side I wrote business. And I think it's easy for people to get caught up in just doing real estate. And there's nothing wrong with that. And when you start up, you're building, you're doing deals, and you just become kind of that deal chaser of things.
Yeah.
And that's what I did for years. What the problem is on that, John, that only goes so far. And it also is in a position where everything's dependent on you.
Yeah.
So I didn't really look at it as a business. When I started looking at it as a business, on the other side of the paper, I realized that, wait a minute here. Really, real estate is nothing more than a product like anything else. So why couldn't I build in, you know, overall operations, build in these additional processes to back the operations, and then start bringing some people in that makes sense? Because I ended up actually getting rid of probably close to 70% of the people that worked for me at that time. That was hard. It was kind of like, I think I shared with you the other night, it was like shifting the Titanic a little bit, you know, moving, turning that, because it wasn't an overnight thing. So we ended up letting a lot of these people go. Some of the people have been with me for years. One of the gentlemen that had been with me for almost 15 years was my best man in the on my wedding. And all that was, it was crazy, man. It was just crazy. And I was so caught up into this, John, that I couldn't see the other side of things. And I just, I basically was caught up in the grind in my own business to the point where I couldn't even see the daylight on the other side.
Yeah.
And then when that happened, man, we made a big shift. And from there going forward, it's been a lot of learning lessons and stuff over the years, but we build it up now where, you know, I've completely removed myself from the operational side of the business. And I'm able to oversee that business with working with my team and my, like my COO, Ashley. And I, and my time in the business is about 3 hours a week. And that's done through really meetings with her, looking at the numbers and those type of things. And I'll also help the team on sales training and stuff. But, you know, that's kind of my story and how I've done that over the years. So
let's there's so many things to, I'm taking notes like crazy here. There's so many things to break down here. I want to go back to something not real estate related. And the type of cancer that your wife had, what was the name of that type of cancer?
Actually it was called Wilms tumor.
Okay.
Wilms tumor. And it's typically found in kids by most of the time by the age of 5. So, and it has an extreme high percentage survival rate for kids. But adults have the opposite. And it's just a rarity for an adult to even have it. So
do you think, this is not real estate related, but do you think, was there any connection to the fact that she was pregnant?
That was a big question that we asked a lot on things, you know, and it was something that we, I kept asking about that. And then, you know, the doctors come together and told me that they really felt they had nothing to do with that. It just was timing. And here's the weird thing about that, John, just so everybody kind of understands. They said that sometimes, and like I say, I know this is not real estate side, but they said a tumor sometimes can actually have its own time clock. And then it just shows up at certain times and just happened to show up during that time of the pregnancy. And so very odd, very rare. And it was unbelievable because it's a kidney cancer. So you understand on that. So she lost both her kidneys. So during that time that, that we were together after she had a main surgery after his birth, and we were in a position where she had didn't have any kidneys, so she was completely dependent on dialysis.
One last thing, and not to minimize this, but just for the sake of time of the podcast here, last thing on this. The Ronald McDonald House. Uh-huh. I think for those of you not familiar with the Ronald McDonald House, Jerry, you've stayed there. So why don't you tell people what the Ronald McDonald House is?
Yeah. So Ronald McDonald House is just an amazing, amazing thing that has been set up for families Really sick children, or in my case, it was my wife, allows them to have a place to stay, typically located by a children's hospital. It allows them to have a place to stay, food to eat, and things like that, especially, you know, during times like that. And so you don't have to worry about finding the place. It's right by the hospital. So they're typically a lot of times even connected to the hospital. And it's all done off of charitable donations. Mm-hmm. So it was an amazing thing. And it allowed me to be there because originally I was sleeping in like her room.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They were like, look, let's get you a room at Ronald McDonald House. You can stay over mm-hmm. there. And so amazing organization.
Yeah.
So
want to shift gears. I mean, and I just wanted to bring that up so people would be familiar with that in case they were not, but shifting gears a little bit here back into real estate, Jerry, you had a couple of things here that I want to point out. One is when you went to this event for Charles, it's Givens, right? G-I-V-E-N-S.
Yep.
Okay. When you went to his event, you were bankrupt. And yes. Of course, they had a mentorship program that was, and you couldn't remember that or not, maybe it was 10,000 or whatever it was at the time, 10 or 12 or 15,000, which is back then, you know, it's a lot of money. your parents were willing to give you their credit cards to put this mentorship on. And unlike most people, one, you went to that event. And you said, you know what, I'm not going to just go home and let this information die. I'm going to do something with it. You got the mentor, which I think, guys, anything you're doing in real estate, please get a mentor. Or anything you're doing in business, get a mentor.
Oh, 100%.
Surround yourself with people that are, you know, operate at a higher level than you. You got that mentor, and then you took action. I wish we could go back in time and dive into your exact thinking process and your thought process of when your mentor was saying, okay, do this, this, and this, what you were thinking versus the action you were taking. But obviously you were taking the specific action that your mentor was telling you to take. And there had to be fear there.
Oh, it was 100%. It was so much fear on that, John. It was crazy on things. I mean, it was insane on that. But you know what? I was at a point where I'm like, you know, during that time too, man, I studied a lot. Like, these are the early days of studying a lot, like of Tony Robbins and mm-hmm. stuff too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And literally, dude, I had the old cassette player, you know, with the, like the Walkman.
Yeah. I've actually got some of those, the tapes. I don't have the full set, but I've got most of them underneath here. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would take those, pop those in, and I would go walking. And literally, John, this is interesting to bring this up, because I think a lot of people struggle with this. And this is something I think all your viewers can benefit from. But literally, guys, you can reprogram your mind. Mm-hmm. You can literally reprogram your mind. And that's exactly what I did. I was so focused on that. I was reprogramming it from where I was at and where I had been, and I was reprogramming it to think differently. And I was doing that on the mindset, but also I was programming too to understand how to do the real estate biz. And this is something that most people don't get, is you have to become obsessed towards your goals.
Yep. I'm writing that down. Guys, did you hear that? You've got to become obsessed to your goals. The other day, Jerry and I were talking to my students, and we were talking about commitment, and that once you commit, providence moves, providence shifts, providence moves mountains.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you've got to be obsessed with your goals.
And that's what I realized. And I also, John, I think I shared to you the other night that something was like, to me, this is like groundbreaking, phenomenal, if somebody just gets this. And that is and I shared the other night that this was a mass study done of wannabe entrepreneurs mm-hmm. and real entrepreneurs. And what was the biggest thing they saw regarding a difference between the two. And they what they came out with was it's something called a point of no return. And they realized that wannabe entrepreneurs typically never had, very few had, if anything at all, a point of no return. Mm-hmm. And they realized that entrepreneurs had a point of no return, and most of the time they had multiple ones. Mm-hmm. And they said, what was the biggest thing that made that difference there? And they said, actually making a financial commitment into your future self.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow. I mean, I kind of shared with the other night too. It was like a gentleman that was extremely overweight, and he went out and made a financial commitment to his future self by having tailor-made suits at a different size.
Yep.
Much smaller than what he could fit into now. And I see that, you know, like with students, you know, it's like you have students you work with, and I have students I work with that like come to my events and stuff like that. And I find that people that commit into their future self and make that financial investment are the ones that are going to move the needle more than other people, because so many other people, as you know, too, they talk about, oh, I could do this, should have done this, I can't afford this and all this stuff. And they program that in. And it's like, okay, dude, you know, are you going to live like the rest of the pack?
And they've got that, you know, the one day mentality. Well, maybe one day.
Yep.
And so like I just made this is, and I'm, I love this, man. I'm writing this down. Make a financial commitment in your future self, whether that is making a financial commitment in a mentor or someone that can literally move the needle in your business. For example, and I'll give real life examples of myself. This coming year, as we record, this is 2021, 2022, I'll be diving very heavily into multifamily because I've done single family for so long. Dive very heavy into multifamily. I've gotten so many multifamily leads this year that I don't even market for. And I'm like, okay, this really interests me. So I made a financial commitment in my future self to join Mike Hambright's cash flow group with Corey Peterson. Obviously, both are very, very good friends of mine. But that's a financial and a time commitment in myself. And there is a sense of uncertainty there because I'm going to be diving into something that, you know, that I'm not the smartest guy in the room, right? At given this, I also made a financial commitment to a group to spend 4 days with them that they're the best in business, but I know they're going to dramatically move the needle from what I learned from that. So it's making a financial commitment in your future self. And I love that. And so many people aren't willing to do that, you know? Yes. And sometimes that financial commitment is going to stretch you, and it's not comfortable to make that financial commitment, right? Because you're like, well, if I do this, then this other thing that would be more enjoyable, or in your head, more enjoyable, you know, whatever, a car, a trip, or whatever. But you go,
absolutely,
nope, I'm committed to this. So I'm sacrificing this right now pleasure for a lifetime of growth. So I love that, Jerry. I want to talk about how when you had, I think you said it's 18 or so people that were working for you, and it was all about Jerry, you know, what about this? How do I do this? You know, and you're running around. I've been there, not with 18 people, but I've certainly been there with, what are 7 or 8 people. And that's not how you run a business. It's how you become a babysitter. And you become your own admin, and you become your own, you know, gopher and everything. And that's not how to run a business. And so you saw that, you weren't happy, you tore it down and started over. You found that you had built something that you didn't like. Fast forward a little bit, as you rebuilt that, when I've had to go back and tear some things down, one of the two things that I would ask myself, and Jerry, I want to get your input on this, is one, what is it that I want? And equally, if not more important, is what do I not want?
Absolutely.
And when I really looked at what is it I do not want, that gave me so much more clarity on how to restructure and rebuild this so that I would get what I wanted. Did you find that as well?
Oh, dude, 100%. It was like, I realized so much of the things that I, well, there was a couple things to that. One, the things I didn't want, but also, John, realizing the things that I didn't need to be doing anymore because I was not good at them. Okay. Like, you know, and I think that's a lot powerful thing. That's where a lot of us as entrepreneurs, we get, you know, we're like, well, nobody's better at me on this, but you're full shit. Okay. Because there is a lot of people better than you at this. And, you know, it's just like with my COO, Ashley, that runs things for me. Okay. I mean, she's been with me now going almost 9 years. And, you know, she started off as an assistant with me and built herself up. But what's interesting, John, is that developed on things. I watched her do a lot of things that I thought, wow, she's much better at that than me. The organization of things, the, you know, executing where I would look at point A and point Z, and I'm like, this is go to Z, you know? And then she's looking at, well, we got all these other steps that we got to do on things. And she would start, she would create the, you know, the reality of like timelines of what it would do. And then she would take, you know, processes and break them down and stuff like that, or the different paperwork that I would just push off to the side, you know, and say, no, you know, it, I, you know, that I realized that there was a big difference there. And I thought, wow. And so that was, a, you know, a light bulb moment for me too. So not just the things I didn't want to do, but the things that I really was not good at.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. No, absolutely. And I, there's been, so I look back and I'm thinking, you know, at the things that I tried to conquer myself, I'm like, I sucked at it. Because that's not my skill set, right?
But
and so you bring on someone that that is their skill set and they're much better at it. Let's go into what you do now as far as, you know, you've got the real estate business just humming along. You've got that going. But I want to talk about now about the training that you do, which is unlike anything I think else out there. That you offer regarding systems and operations. Would you actually, you have a couple of different trainings, right?
Yeah. So on the real estate side, just on that, I've built it up, but it just take a lot of work, like you said, and a lot of planning, but I build up where it's done by the team. The team is overseeing it. And John, here's what I look at on that. Okay. And this is something that most people never talk about. I took it from a business to a company. See, a company, a true company will operate without you being involved all the time. You still got to be there and do the stuff you need to do as a leader, but it functions on a daily basis without you. Okay. So, and I built that up. So that way we have, you know, production line process running where we're doing multiple deals per month. The majority of them are wholesale now. We've done a little bit of everything over the years. We do some creative financing. You know, and I think I shared, you know, novations and stuff like that. But basically that's set in place. And then we built that. But what that has allowed me to do is give me more time to spend in a big passion of mine. And that is helping others and training and so forth. So my two areas that I really excel at is one, as you mentioned, is our systems and operations. Okay. Because we, you know, I think it was, obviously we went through so much, but also we're in a position where it was, it was such a light bulb moment, change, life-changing thing that we got good at it. And when we did, we had people start asking us about, hey, you know, how do you do this and stuff? So we created an event. We do a 2-day event. It's a training that we actually have here in our office in Dayton, Ohio. People come into our office. They spend 2 days with my team and I. We go through what's interesting on day one. We actually go through our entire organization You get to see each department. We have a smaller team now. We run about 8 people. We go through each department. They share how they do things from our acquisitions, dispo, transaction coordinating. And we just go through all that. And you get to take that and see all that. But not only are we sharing it, but you get to interact directly with our team on the front line. Okay. So it makes a really unique experience. And then what we do is day two, we actually take your business, and this is why we do it in a small environment. We typically have about 15 people in these events. And then what we'll do is take your business, break it apart, and then we will help you lay out a new roadmap and create a to-do list on day two. Okay. So very unique setting on that, man.
Yeah.
And that's our systems and ops training. Then another training I do is my acquisitions training, which is a 1-day training, basically showing you how to really convert more deals. And it's based upon a sales process that you have to follow. And all. So I do 2 things. One is the sales process. The other component of it is deal structuring, which you get into a lot with like lease option programs mm-hmm. and stuff. So that's what we do is we do that. And that's our 2 trainings. So we system and operations, and then we do an acquisitions training. So that way you have all these leads coming in. How can we convert more of those leads to actual deals and make more money on each one?
Where, I know we're running short on time here. We'll start to kind of bring this home here and wrap this up. First of all, I'm incredibly excited about participating and being part of the 2-day systems and operations training. I think that's going to be phenomenal. Well, I know it's going to be phenomenal. How often, how many times a year do you offer each of these trainings?
So the systems and ops, we do that every other month. So okay. We got one coming up at the end of January, January 24th and 25th. Okay. And we still have seats available for that one. We're just really starting to use that. We see, in fact, in the last, 24 hours and stuff, I've had 4 or 5 people reach out to me just because, people are starting to plan and say, I want to get things going in the new year. And I'm serious about making a big change in my business and taking it and really taking this real estate and making it a business. So we do that about every other month. Then we do our acquisitions training typically about 3 to 4 times a year.
Okay. Well, I definitely want to be part of the one of your systems and operations trainings for sure.
Yeah, I look forward to having you, bro.
And just because I don't do a lot of wholesaling, which is going to be a little bit more of the acquisition training, I think, which both would be absolutely phenomenal. But I think what would be more geared towards me is the systems and operations. So when you've got that schedule for, say, the March timeframe, March and April, certainly we'll be in touch, and I will promote that as well and make sure that the room is packed there. Jerry, as we go to sign off here, where can people find you?
Okay. Well, one, I do have a lot of people reach out to me through Facebook, obviously on that side of things. Just hit me up on the Jerry Green. I got my personal page, but also you can jump over. There's my Jerry Green business page too, located in Germantown, Ohio. Pretty simple on that side of things. So it's not hard to find, And then also my website, it's thejerrygreen.com. Okay. Thejerrygreen.com. Great place to reach out to me on there too. You go to there, it has information about my events. And also there's an area too that you can click in and view a lot of my YouTube videos. Okay. And then you can go right to my YouTube channel. So in fact, that's a great place to go, guys. Do me a favor to go to my YouTube channel and you'll see it in there. It's very simple to get to. If you go to my website, you can go right to the videos, free video library, and then you can go right to YouTube and then subscribe to my channel. We're really pushing on that. I know, John, that's something you're doing as well, my friend. And but subscribe to the channel. We put a lot of content out on that as well as on social media. And guys, this, you know, if you have a question, reach out to me. I'm glad to help on things. We're continue to put out a lot of content. You know, I'd love to be able to help you in any way I can. And if you're interested in one of the events coming up, just let me know. Okay.
Yeah, guys, you definitely want to go to thejerrygreen.com, thejerrygreen.com. Go to his website, go to his YouTube channel. He's got a ton of incredibly valuable information that's all free out there. And you definitely want to make it a must. Put it on, remember, invest in your future self.
Absolutely.
Go to either his acquisitions training or systems and processes or both. Certainly, as you can schedule that, you will not be disappointed. Jerry is the guy that the big boys go to that do hundreds of deals a year. They go to Jerry because otherwise, I love this saying. I heard it first from Jerry Green is what you don't want to do is scale chaos. And if you've been in business long enough, you know exactly what that means. God knows I do. You do not want to scale chaos. So I wish we had more time, Jerry. But we're literally, I'm looking at the clock here. I'm literally counting down the, about the last 2 minutes here. Jerry, I want to thank you so much.
No problem, bro.
Guys, again, go to thejerrygreen.com. If you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe to this channel, give us a thumbs up, subscribe, because that way you're going to get updates as we load more and more videos. Leave comments, put questions down below, email me questions at leasingtobuy.com. Again, Jerry Green, thank you so much, sir.
Absolutely, John. Glad to be here. Thank you. Anybody that needs help on anything or has any questions, let me know. I'd be glad to help. And thank you, John.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. Take care, sir.
All right. Thanks, brother.
Well, thanks for listening to another episode of the Lease Option Experience. I hope you got a lot of information out of that episode. Again, if you have any questions about lease options, email us questions@leasingtobuy.com. Again, that's questions@leasingtobuy.com. And again, if you haven't yet, subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a thumbs up on any platform that you're listening to or watching us on. Again, questions@leasingtobuy.com. And if you haven't, again, go to leaseoptionclasses.com. Get all your free downloads, a lot of great information, including the steps to lease option, my lease option calculator, my seller price sheet, and even my comparison sheet. Again, that's leaseoptionclasses.com. And we've got a lot more training videos there as well. And you can even learn more about the Lease Options 2.0 training information. All right, take care, and we'll see you on the next episode.